Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
As Luke said this morning, we're going to begin a new series. It's going to be a brief series, and we're calling it Household. Household. And so I thought before I really dive in today, I'd just begin to let you know a little bit about what these next four Sundays are going to be looking like, including what today is going to be about. Household, the series, is all about confirming the things that are important to us as a community. And when I say as a community, I mean to Living Waters. In other words, we're going to look at the things that we hold to in our house. And so whether or not you are new to Living Waters or whether you have been here for some time, I think it's really valuable for us to take some time and to think through who we are and why we're here and where we are headed. This season for us is kind of like the beginning of a new year. I think really it is more a new year than January is, to be honest. And so this is really a good time for us to do this. It's an important time for us to do it. So to provide kind of a snapshot of household and what it's all about, we have said this series is about this, our pursuit of community, life change, and purpose. And so let me just unpack that for a moment. You know this, that the Christian life should never be stagnant. It should never be that. It should always be moving. And so the idea of pursuit, I think, is a fair description of our movement toward the things that we believe are critical to our rhythm as a church community. For example, what we do here is that we pursue authentic community. Doing life together in Christian community as best we can is vital to who we are. See, we believe this. We believe that our coming together does not occur at the bidding of man, but at the very call of God. We are the body of Christ on earth. We are an assembly of parts that make an amazing whole, and it is led by none other than Jesus himself. And so this community is the best place for us. It's the best place for us. Our pursuit of community, the working out of our faith together, it has a point, and that is our pursuit of both personal and community life change. We desire that. We want to see life change. And we find that as we open ourselves up as fully as we can to God's love, and we try our very best to love others in the same way, there's something that happens on the inside of us. And it is called transformation. And we are a community that believes in transformation led by the Holy Spirit. It's the only way that we can look a little bit more like Jesus every day. It's important for us. And we believe that as we pursue community and life change, God crafts and expresses his purpose for us. We discover along the way that his church is not just about us. You see, Jesus has built this household not with walls and bricks, but with expanding relationships that offer the invitation to others to explore the truth and to discover the love of Jesus. We are to be a loving, graceful invitation to all that says, you are welcome here. You are welcome here. And so over these next four Sundays, we're going to dig more deeply into these thoughts, and we're going to kind of explore our DNA, what we're all about together. Next Sunday, I'm going to be talking about foundation. The health and the strength, the vitality of the forward progression of a community is deeply, deeply rooted in its foundation. And so we're going to talk about how the building blocks of our faith will help us to navigate our challenging culture and all of its questions. Well, together we pursue the greater purpose that God has for us. So next week we're going to talk about foundations. The Sunday afterwards is going to be about a framework. You may know this already, but we are guided by seven biblical values that are used as a grid for almost everything that we do here. And like the framework of a house, they help to guide us and provide a sense of who God is and who God has called us uniquely to be. And so we're going to talk about that. The fourth Sunday, Luke is going to be talking about family. Notice these F words, they're coming through. And he's going to consider how we do life well together. How do we work with messy? Because we are messy. How do we do that well, while at the same time finding Jesus and finding life change in the midst of it? But today, we're going to begin with faith. We're going to begin with faith. Our individual and collective capacity to believe. To believe. And more specifically, our call to believe. I want you to know that this was not on the radar a few weeks ago, this particular message. But I felt impressed by the Holy Spirit that before we did anything else, before we talked about the other things, we were to talk about faith. That we were to talk about faith. And more specifically, a call to step our faith up to another level as we approach this coming year. There's a story in Mark, and it's in chapter 9, if you want to open up to that chapter in your Bibles, where Jesus takes John, James, and Peter to the top of the mountain where he is transfigured. It's an amazing story, and they see the divine nature of Jesus. But meanwhile, down below, the remaining disciples are struggling because they can't seem to heal a boy who is demon-possessed. And so what happens is when the father sees Jesus returning, he says to him, I brought my son to you to be healed, but you weren't here, so I asked your disciples, but they couldn't do it. Let's pick up the account at verse 21. How long has this been happening? Jesus asked the boy's father. And he replied, since he was a little boy. The spirit often throws him into the fire or into water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can. What do you mean, if I can? Jesus asked. Anything is possible if a person believes. The father instantly cried out, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the crowd of onlookers was growing, he rebuked the evil spirit. Listen, you spirit that makes this boy unable to hear and speak, he said, I command you to come out of this child and never enter him again. Then the spirit screamed and threw the boy into another violent convulsion and left him. The boy appeared to be dead. A murmur ran through the crowd as people said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and helped him to his feet, and he stood up. Well, there's a lot of good stuff in those verses, and we are going to learn more about them as we carry on in our series of Mark. In fact, we're going to be talking about this later on in November. But the focus that I want to take this morning out of this particular passage is on the dad's faith. You know, it would be easy to look at him and consider him to be a person of little faith. But I think if we were to do that, I don't think we'd be fully fair to him. See, it took a level of faith for him to make his way to Jesus just based on the things that he had heard from other people. And we also have to remember that he's a dad who loves his son very much, and he is about to entrust his son, the well-being of his son, to Jesus in the hopes of finding healing for him. It's not something that a parent would easily jump to, and so we know that there is faith in this man. But it is clear, though, that in his heart of hearts, he just wasn't sure that Jesus could pull it off. And there was something else that kind of added to his uncertainty. Remember that he had just seen those who were the closest to Jesus fail at their attempt to heal his boy. And so when he says to Jesus, have mercy on us and help us if you can, you can kind of see that the dad is hovering somewhere between belief and unbelief. He's kind of holding on to this quiet reservation. I'll tell you what, if you can should not be read as a critical statement by this dad. This is really an honest confession of his not holding to 100% belief. The dad hopes that Jesus can. He wants to think that he can, but he's just not sure it's going to happen. And I wonder how many times our own prayers have been lifted in a similar way. Not just quite sure. What do you mean, if I can, is what Jesus says in response. You know, I don't think Jesus was incredulous when he asked that question. Come on, he already knew the heart of this dad. I think what happens here is that this question really provides the dad with something to think about. It gives him this moment to consider what had motivated him to come to Jesus in the first place, and to what degree did he really believe in the potential of this Messiah? Is this Jesus really who he says he is, and can he actually heal my son? Well, Jesus doesn't leave him hanging for long, and he assures him that his hopes are not misplaced when he says this: anything is possible if a person believes. Anything is possible if a person believes. Come on, that's a bold statement. It's a bold statement. And I suspect it was a statement that kind of shook that dad up just a bit. See, this is kind of a radical concept in which personal faith in Jesus could move mountains, and that would have been new to this man. Anything possible? Yes, anything is possible according to the one that he was asking. Tell you what, I think that this statement and others like it throughout the gospel are meant to shake us up as well. They're meant to help us loosen the grip that we have on this world with all of its predictability and laws of how things work. Anything is possible if a person believes is a declaration that flies in the face of our ordered world, and yet it is made at the same time by the God who created that world. And as we read and understand our Bible, it is as true today as it was when Jesus said it. The question for us this morning is, do we hold to its truth? Do we hold to its truth? Let me say something that's hard. I think that as much as we easily say all things are possible in Christ, many of us have come to a place, particularly I think in the North American church, that more often than not, we don't really fully expect the miracle behind the words. We've come to a place where we ask for, but sometimes we really don't anticipate the miracles, the signs, or the wonders, because we hold on to our own quiet reservations in faith. Like the father in the story, many of us have come to a place perhaps of lacking belief for the supernatural amongst us. And you know, there are any number of reasons for that happening. Perhaps it's because we live in this culture in a place of plenty where our needs for miracles just don't seem to be as much anymore. Yes, we pray for healing, but we have hospitals and we have good doctors. And maybe it's because we live in a society that over the years has developed philosophies that have continually attempted to deconstruct our faith. And they call such extravagant faith as Jesus is calling us to as being out of order, and perhaps we've listened to that too much. I don't know. Whatever the case for our Christian culture, it's interesting to note that this is not the same experience in other nations of the world who more clearly see the need of the hand of God to be moving among them. Nations which, in their desperation for Jesus, have called out to him, and as a result of faith moving forward, they have seen signs, miracles, and wonders. I don't know about you, but I've read those stories of people being healed in amazing ways, of the dead being raised to life. The problem for us is that quiet reservations that go unresolved are ultimately the undoing of our faith. They court complacency and rationale for not seeking the fullest expression of God in our churches. These quiet reservations of faith, I think, have left the North American church prone to acquiescing to argument and cultural pushback. And here's another hard thought. When we don't hold to a faith for the God of ages to move incredibly amongst us, the chances are that he won't. And we shouldn't fool ourselves into thinking otherwise. Look at the gospel. The neighbors of Jesus experienced firsthand the results of their reservations. Even when Jesus personally presented them with the fullest expression of God possible, which was himself, their lack of belief resulted in them missing all that Jesus had in store for them. Matthew 13:54. He returned to Nazareth, his hometown. When he taught there in the synagogue, everyone was amazed and said, "Where does he get this wisdom and the power to do miracles?" And then they scoffed. See, the world order just sort of begins to come in here. Then they scoff. He's just the carpenter's son, and we know Mary, his mother, and his brother, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. All his sisters live right here amongst us. Where did he learn all of these things? And the word says they were deeply offended, and they refused to believe in him. Then Jesus told them, "A prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his own family." And so he did only a few miracles there because of their unbelief. You see, what happened there is that unbelief led them to missing all that Jesus wanted for them. Can you imagine what that neighborhood could have looked like had they had the faith? See, followers and faith, in my mind, are like bread and butter. They're meant to be together. So when the dad said, "I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief," he was recognizing that while he had a level of faith, he also had capacity for more. And that's important for us. What faith was not there, he quantified himself as unbelief. And he wanted that vacuum filled with greater belief. And he understood that capacity was not going to be reached without the supernatural help of Jesus himself. And so this is a beautiful story because he gets it. Jesus heals his son, and without doubt, his faith finds its secure footing. And any quiet reservations or otherwise are gone. And it's here really that I want us to land. See, I believe absolutely that Jesus is calling us to step up to a new level of faith, to believe more strongly, more fervently, and with greater expectation than ever before. I absolutely believe it. Now, please hear me. This is not a criticism of the body. It is not that at all. I know that we have faith, but I also believe with all of my heart we have capacity for more. We have capacity for more. And before we consider foundations or framework or our family, Jesus is calling us to see them through a grid of greater faith. Like I said, it's not that we haven't got faith, because we have, but like the father of the demon-possessed boy, Jesus is standing before us and he's ready and he's desiring to move powerfully in his church. And I don't know, maybe if we're honest, some of us have maybe gotten to that place of quiet reservation within our own lives. Our faith to believe for the impossible has somehow been overwhelmed by a worldview of predictability and laws of how things are going to work. But in light of his assignment for us, his church, Jesus is asking us to set aside our reservations, to set aside our doubts, our wonderings, and move instead to greater levels of faith. There is so much that we are to accomplish as his church, as his people, particularly in a culture that grows more and more uneasy with the way of Jesus. You see, we have been gathered, you and I, for such a time and such a place as this. That's why we're here. Faith is not always easy. We all have faced disappointments and discouragements. But that's life. Jesus never said it was going to be easy for us. But through all of that stuff, through all of the mess, through the cancers of our life, all of those things, Jesus continues to call us on to believe and to have faith, to get over that stuff and not be underneath it. It's not easy. But being a follower of Jesus was never meant to be easy. Because if it was, we would not require faith. Well, there's no doubt that there is risk when we step out in faith. And when there is risk, there is typically fear that comes up. There's fear of failure, fear of disappointment, maybe even fear of being exposed as a radical believer. But we must understand this. We must believe this, that we do not take this risk alone, that Jesus, the maker of miracles, is with us. And he is the maker of miracles. He was and he is today. He is the God who does not change. I was thinking about Peter. You remember the story where he attempts to walk on water. This is a story of risk, isn't it? He takes this risk, and it also is a story about the consequences of doubt. You know the story. You know, the disciples are out on the Sea of Galilee. It's 3 o'clock in the morning, and Jesus is walking to them, and it's storming, and it's really a mess, and they think that Jesus is a ghost. But there he is. He's walking on water towards them. But he says to them, "Do not be afraid. Take courage. I am here." Wow. Come on. Take courage. I am here. That's the word of the Lord for us today. And because of that, Peter takes this incredible risk. It says this in Matthew 14, 28. "Lord," he says, this is Peter, "if it's really you, tell me to come to you, walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and he walked in the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and he began to sink. And, "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," said Jesus. Why did you doubt me?" I love the fact that Peter chose to take a risk here. He chose to take a risk. This is a step of faith that he took. And the beauty is that he actually walked on water. He actually walked on water. I think that's the most important part of the story. He actually walked on water. But the secondary part of the story, the second kind of teaching for us, is that we see that he allowed doubt to enter in and the physical properties of the world once again to overwhelm him. You know, the wind and the waves and the gravity, they all end his walk on water. And Jesus, of course, he identifies the difficulty right away and he says to him, "Why did you doubt me? Why did you doubt me?" See, had Peter allowed faith to overtake him, rather than the grip of the world that he was used to, his steps might have turned into a miracle marathon. But doubt ended a moment that had even greater promise than just a few steps. But I'll tell you what, here, Peter is a hero in my books. He's a hero in my books because what he did is he put his action into his faith. And I love that about him. He could have just decided to stay on the boat and just talked about the possibility of walking on water. "Oh, I believe that Jesus could make this happen, but I'm staying right here on the boat." But see, he didn't do that. He was determined to lay aside any reservations of faith that he had and to step out of the boat. He simply chose to believe. That's what he did. He made that decision to simply believe. And I think many of us are in that place today where we just need to simply make the decision to believe and set everything else aside. See, faith has to be more than just good thoughts. It requires an action. We must choose belief, and as Peter learned, we must choose it over every argument and every fear. Because otherwise, we risk its erosion and moving again to a place of quiet reservation and complacency. And when we do that, we miss what Jesus has for us. when increased faith and taking the risks that are associated requires more than what we have to give, we need to follow the example of the father of the demon-possessed boy. What did he do? He called out. He called out to Jesus. And he was honest with him where he stood. And he said, I believe, but help me overcome my disbelief. You see, that's where we should be. I think that is in the place that we need to be. We need the capacity, or we have the capacity, but we need Jesus to fill that with faith. As I said earlier, I felt strongly impressed by the Spirit that we are to take our faith as we move into this year ahead to another level. He has much more to accomplish in this community and in our own lives. And I believe that as we take risks of faith, as you and I believe for what seems to be impossible, I absolutely believe that we will see the powerful hand of God move among us in ways that we have never seen before. I'm believing that for this year, as you and I together decide to step forward and say, I believe. Help me in my unbelief. There's so much more ahead of us. As we choose to believe, as we choose to have faith in the God of ages. In this house, we are called to hold to faith that we would see many, 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 many more people come to Jesus. We are called to hold to faith for broken lives that need to be transformed by the power of God, and there seems today to be no hope. We need to hold to faith for the miraculous healing of bodies. We need to hold to faith for a flood of generosity from this house that will impact more than a city, but an entire province. I can see it in my heart. We need to hold to faith for a new community planted from this house that will share the love of Jesus and change an entire neighborhood and community. We need to hold to faith that we would know personally the filling of the Holy Spirit to empower us to do the work of Jesus. We need to hold to a faith that would see signs and wonders among us. If you are here today and that just sounds like nonsense, if you are here today and that just sounds like it's a bit over the top, then I invite you to stay through this year and watch what Jesus will do. I really invite you, as I invite myself, to step away from the things that reserve us from faith, to believe for the things that God has for us. You see, his desire is for miracles to occur here in this house and in your home. His desire is to see people healed at his touch. His desire is to see addictions broken. His desire is to see us free to believe and be empowered believers who will touch and love others that seem today unlovable, who maybe today seem to be in such opposition to us, and yet to see them come in a place where they will know the power of Jesus Christ and a transformed life. You see, we need to believe for that. We can't leave this house not believing that that is not possible. Because if we do believe that's not possible, why are we here? You see, we believe in a God that changes lives, transforms lives. We believe in the resurrected Jesus. All of these things are possible. They are all possible if we only believe. If we only believe. And so my prayer for us is that we would become full of belief. Oh God, I believe, but help me in my unbelief. Lord, I believe we have capacity for more. Jesus, would you come? Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you fill us so that we would believe for the impossible? Come on! That's what this is about. It's not to believe just for the possible. What's that about? That's about our world. No, we're called to believe for the impossible. That's the supernatural world of Jesus. That's who we are. That's who we're to be. We are the body of Christ. Come on. Let's believe for more. Would you stand, everybody? Let me pray. Oh, Jesus, like the dad in the story, we come before you and we say we believe, but we ask, oh God, that you would help us in our unbelief. Oh God, if we have had quiet reservations, Jesus, would you just knock them aside? If we have had doubts, oh God, would you remove them from us? Help us to see, oh God, this world as you see it, not as we do. Help us not to see it through the grid of how structure and things work in this world, but to see them as you would have them work, oh God, through your power. Jesus, I pray that as we would move into this year, that we would move in as a people of powerful faith, a people who would believe for the impossible, to know that you are amongst us and you are the maker of miracles, you are the mover of mountains, and that we would see that in our own lives, transformation in our own lives, and those that we care for and love so much, and those that we don't even know today that need to be in this house and know your power in their lives. Oh God, would you make it so in us? We ask it. Help us, oh God. We believe, but help us in our unbelief. We give you thanks. You are faithful, Lord, and we are desiring to see you move in great power in the weeks and the months ahead of us. In Jesus' name we pray. And as people said, amen, amen. Please leave this house considering these words today. Please leave this house open to faith and all that God would do. God bless you, everybody. We'll see you this coming Sunday.